The Lorax. Wait, put it back down here, Sam. At the far end of town, where the grickle grass grows, and the wind smells slow and sour when it blows, and no birds ever sing, excepting old crows, is the street of the Lifted Lorax. And deep in the grickle grass, some people say, if you look deep enough, you can still see today where the Lorax once stood, just as long as it could, before somebody lifted the Lorax away. What was the Lorax, and why was it there? And why was it lifted and taken somewhere? From the far end of town where the grickle grass grows, the old Onceler still lives here. Ask him, he knows. You won't see the Onceler. Don't knock at his door. He stays in his lurkum on top of his store. That's the Onceler. Yeah, he stays in his lurkum on top of his store. He lurks in his lurkum, cold under the roof, where he makes his own clothes out of miff-muffled moof. Yep, don't worry about that, Sam. Leave it there. We'll play with that later. And on special dark midnights in August, he peeks out of the shutters, and sometimes he speaks, and tells how the Lorax was lifted away. He'll tell you, perhaps, if you're willing to pay. On the end of a rope, he lets down a tin pail, and you have to toss in 15 cents in the nail in the shell of a great-great-grandfather snail. Then he pulls up the pail, makes a most careful count. That's the Onceler. And if you see, and to see if you paid him the proper amount, that's the Onceler too. Then he hides what you paid him away in his snurvy, his secret strange hole in his grooviest glove. Then he grunts, I will call you by whisper my phone, for the secrets I tell you are for your ears alone. Slurp. Down slurps the whisper my phone to your ear. That's little boy. And the old Onceler whispers are not very clear. Yeah, that's a phone. Since they have to come down through a snurgly hose, and he sounds as if he had smallish bees up his nose. Yes. Now I'll tell you, he says, with a teeth sounding gray, how the Lorax got lifted and taken away. It all started way back, was such a long, long time back. Way back in the day when the grass was still green, and the pond was still wet, and the clouds were still clean. And the song of the swoomy swans rang out in space. One morning I came to this glorious place. And I first saw the trees, the truffula trees. The bright colored tufts of the truffula trees. Mile after mile in the fresh morning breeze. No, not the end yet. And under the trees I saw brown barbaloots. Shh, the baby's sleeping. Frisking about in their barbaloot suits as they played in the shade of the truffula fruits. From the rippinous pond came the comfortable sound of the humming fish humming while splashing around. But those truffula trees, all my life I'd been searching for trees such as these. The touch of their troughs was much softer than silk, and they had the sweet smell of fresh buttery milk. Those are recorders, Nate. We're not going to touch them, okay? See the book?
Yeah.
I felt a great leaping of joy in my heart. I knew just what to do. I unloaded the cart. That's the Onceler. Yeah. In no time at all, I had built a small shop. Then I chopped down a truffle, a tree with one chop. And with a great skillful skill, with a great speedy speed, I took a small tuft and I knitted a thead. That's a thead. Yeah, that's a Onceler. He's selling. The instant I finished, I heard a gazip. Yep, that's a theed. I saw something pop out of the stump of a tree I'd chopped down. Yeah, shh, be quiet, Nate. It was sort of a man. Describe him, that's hard. I don't know if I can. He was shortish and oddish and brownish and mossy, and he spoke with a voice that was sharpest and bossy.
I saw something.
Mister, he said with a sawdusty sneeze, I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. I speak for the trees because the trees have no tongues, and I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs. He was upset. He shouted and he puffed. What's that thing that you made with my truffle tuft? He's about to tell you. Lorax, Lorax, I said, there's no cause for alarm. I chopped just one tree, I am doing no harm. I'm being quite useful, this thing is a theed. And a theed's a fine something that all people need. It's a shirt, it's a sock, it's a glove, it's a hat. But it has other uses, yes, far beyond that. You can use it for carpets, for pillows, for sheets, or curtains, or covers, for bicycle seats. The Lorax said, sir, you are crazy with greed. There is no one on earth who would buy that fool theed. But the very next minute, I proved he was wrong, for just at that minute, a chap came along. And he thought that the theed I knitted was great, and he happily bought it for $3.98. I laughed at the Lorax, you poor stupid guy, you can never tell what some people will buy. I repeat, cried the Lorax, I speak for the trees. I'm busy, I told him, shut up if you please. I rushed across the room and in no time at all built a radio phone. I put in a quick call. I called my brothers and uncles and aunts. I said, listen here, here's a wonderful chance for the whole Wentzler family to get mighty rich. Get over here fast. Take the road to North Niche. Turn left at Weehawken's shop right at South Stitch. And in no time at all, in a factory I built, the whole Wentzler family was working full tilt. We were knitting theeds just as busy as bees to the sound of the chopping of truffula trees. Then, oh baby, oh, how my business did grow. Now chopping one tree at a time was too slow. So I quickly invented my Super Axe Hacker, which whacked off four truffula trees in one smacker. We were making theeds four times as fast as before. And the Lorax, he didn't show up anymore. But the next week he knocked on my new office door. He snapped, I am the Lorax who speaks for the trees, which you seem to be chopping as fast as you please. But I'm also in charge of the brown barbalutes who played in the shade of the barbaloot suits and happily lived eating truffula fruits. Now, thanks to your hacking my trees to the ground, there's not enough truffula fruit to go around. And my poor barbaloots are getting the crummies because they have gas, no food in their tummies. They loved living here, but I can't let them stay. They'll have to find food, and I hope that they may. Good luck, boys, he cried, and he sent them away. I, the Wentzler, felt sad, but as I watched them go, but business is business, and business must grow, regardless of crummies and tummies, you know. I meant no harm, I truly did not. I meant no harm, I most truly did not. But I had to grow bigger, so bigger I got. I biggered my factory, I biggered my roads, I biggered my wagons, I biggered the loads. Of the thieves I shipped out, I was shipping them forth, to the south, to the east, to the west, to the north. I went right on biggering, selling more thieves, and I biggered my money, which everyone needs. Then again he came back. I was fixing some pipes when that old nuisance Lorax came back with more gripes. I am the Lorax, he coughed and he whizzed. He sneezed and he snuffled, he snargled, he sniffed. Onceler, he cried with a carnivorous croak. Onceler, you're making schmogginous smoke. My poor Schwanny Schwans, why they can't sing a note. No one can sing who has smog in their throat. And so, said the Lorax, please pardon my cough. They cannot live here, so I'm sending them off. Where will they go? I don't hopefully know. They may have to fly for a month or a year to escape from the smog you've smogged up around here. What's more, snapped the Lorax, his dander was up, let me say a few more words about Gluppity Glup. Your machinery chugs on day and night without stop, making Gluppity Glup and Sloppity Slop. And what do you do with this leftover goo? I'll show you, you dirty onceler, you. You're glumping the pond where the humming fish hummed. No more can they hum, for their gills are all gummed. So I'm sending them off. Oh, their future is dreary. They'll walk on their fins and get woefully weary in search of some water that isn't so smeary. And then I got mad. I got terribly mad. I yelled at the Lorax, now listen here, Dad. All you do is yap, yap, and say bad, 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 bad. Well, I have my right, sir, and I'm telling you I intend to go on doing just what I do. And for your information, your Lorax, I'm figuring on biggering and biggering and biggering and biggering. And the more turning more trouble of trees into thieves, which everyone needs. And at that very moment, we heard a loud whack. From outside in the fields came a sickening smack of an axe on a tree. Then we heard the tree fall, the very last truffle tree of them all. No more trees, no more thieves, no more work to be done. So in no time, my uncles and aunts, everyone, all waved me goodbye. They jumped into cars, and they drove away under the smoke-smuggered stars. Now all that was left beneath the bad-smelling sky was my big empty factory, the Lorax and I. The Lorax said nothing, just gave me a glance, gave me a very sad, sad backward glance, and he lifted himself by the seat of the pants, and I'll never forget the grim look on his face when he hoisted himself and took leave of this place, through a hole in the smog without leaving a trace. And all that the Lorax left here in this mess was a small pile of rocks with one word, unless. Whatever that meant, well, I just couldn't guess. That was long ago, but each day since that day, I've sat here and worried away. Through the years while my buildings have fallen apart, I've worried about it with all of my heart. But now, said the Onceler, now that you're here, the words of the Lorax seem perfectly clear. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better, it's not. So, catch, calls the Onceler, he lets something fall. It's a truffle seed, it's the last one of all. You're in charge of the last of the truffle seeds, and truffle trees are what everyone needs. Plant a new truffle, treat it with care, give it clean water, and feed it fresh air. Grow a forest, protect it from axes that hack. Then the Lorax and all of his friends may come back.
Yes, and the frosting.
The end.
Here. In the
last animal.